Welcome to the Decent Rowing Podcast. My name's Lachlan. I'm here with my dad, Ken, and together we have the Decent Rowing website. Today we're going to be talking all about shoulder lift at the catch, and it's one of those things that you really want to get right from the start because it's a bad habit that can get ingrained very deeply and it's very hard to change later on. Some technical things you can change later on, but shoulder lift is definitely not one of them. So you would have had a bit of experience with this in your time, Ken. What are the main reasons why you don't want to be lifting your shoulders at the catch?
Yeah, shoulder lift is very common, particularly in school club system with young rowers. And the main reasons why we don't want to have shoulder lift is because we're essentially, if you are shoulder lifting, then you're using a part of the body at the catch that we really want to save for later on in the rowing stroke in order to get more power later in the stroke. So we don't want to have shoulder lift at the catch because it's a waste of power. And also, putting the blade in with your shoulders tends to mean that the blade gets rowed into the water, and again, that really hampers your catch. So to get a good catch with shoulder lift is very, very difficult. So shoulder lift, let's try and avoid it. But I assume, Lachlan, when you went through the school system, you would have not been taught much about shoulder lift, or was it something that was a bit of a focus?
Honestly, I can't really remember. It's probably one of those things that I was told about sometimes and not told about other times. I think, my main memories of learning how to row was rowing with square blades and getting the blade in the water and out of the water. I think shoulder lift probably wasn't, it definitely wasn't a focus, but I'm sure that, sometimes I guess it's tempting for people to think that there's, bigger problems, and sometimes there are, but shoulder lift is something that sort of goes under the radar for a long time, I think.
Yeah, and I consider that the catch is the most important part of the stroke, and so have shoulder lift means that you can't have a good catch. So I think that we should all, as coaches and athletes, should really focus on getting rid of shoulder lift very early on, because, as you said, it's pretty hard to get rid of. But more importantly, you can't get a good catch if you've got aggressive shoulder lift. Indeed, no shoulder lift is what we're really looking for. So I think it's the first place to start, really. I think it's more important than feathering. It's more important than the finish. It's more important than pretty much every other part of the stroke. So I'd suggest shoulder lift, kill it out early if you possibly can. So I think a lot of the aggressive shoulder lift comes from the feeling that they like, every athlete thinks rowing's a hard sport, and so they like to really get the power on early if they can, and that can tend to lead to using the shoulders because it's pretty easy to lift your shoulders and get some power on that way, but it's just at the wrong point. So in masters rowing, I think it's an issue as well. So anyone who's learning to row, then I think really watch out for the shoulder lift. So you would have seen masters rowers with shoulder lift as well, I assume, Lachlan.
Yeah, so it's across all ages, really. And the real problem with the shoulder lift is you're missing out on such an important part of the rowing stroke when you lift with the shoulders. So a lift with the shoulders, really, in probably nearly all cases, I don't think I can think of a case where someone's lifting the shoulders and they've got the legs on properly. So that plays out at the catch just after you put the blade in the water. That's really should be all about the legs and also the lower body, so sort of like the hips and the lower trunk sort of thing. It shouldn't be anything with the upper body. And when people do engage the shoulders at the catch, so lift with the shoulders and sometimes like throw the head back and things like that, they're really not applying power through the legs. And if they do the shoulder lift and apply the power with the legs at the same time, unless they've got the blade in the water, which a lot of the time they don't, they're wasting a huge amount of the potential power for that rowing stroke. And you really need to sort of take it back a step and say, well, put the blade in the water first before you do anything. And that they struggle with that, but there's a few different things you can do to sort of combat shoulder lift. And you can go the other way. You can talk about shooting the slide. So if you're someone who lifts with the shoulders, they're not really shooting the butt out, which is another problem. So you can suggest that they try shooting their butt out at the catch towards the bow, and that often will bring them back to sort of a normal zone of shoulder lift at the catch.
Yeah, definitely. And shooting the slide is an interesting drill, because if you can get people to shoot the slide i.e. not have their core turned on much at all, so they're really shooting the slide quite aggressively, and then ask them to turn their core on after they've done a few strokes where they're shooting the slide, and you'll find that their shoulder lift almost disappears immediately. So it's a pretty good technique for dealing with shoulder lift. The other issue that comes out of the shoulder lift as well is that when Lachlan was talking before about you tending to lift with your shoulders and not drive with your legs and the blades not really in the water, all of that energy that you're using there is actually checking the boat. And so you really need to make sure you get well connected before you get onto the handle and really start to push. Now, in a smaller boat, it's more critical. In a bigger boat, then you can afford to put more power on earlier, but you still don't want to do it with your shoulders. The concept is to push with the legs first, so you get connected, push with the legs, and then open up with the shoulders. I should rephrase that, open up with the body towards the when the legs are almost down, because that way you get the optimum power application through the stroke. So lifting with the shoulders, I think, is a bad concept at any point. What you really want to be able to do, if you can, is to open up from your hips, not lifting your shoulders aggressively, even later in the stroke. And if you think about it, the core and trunk of an athlete is their largest muscle group that they've got. So you want to be able to use it at the right time after the legs are well done in order to be able to really accelerate that boat through the rowing stroke. So yeah, it's important to try and get rid of the shoulder lift. So Lachlan, have you got some other tips on how people can get rid of shoulder lift?
I think doing a lot of work around the catch, so just getting into that catch position and practicing placing that oar in the water. And once you've got that, so you're just pivoting from, you're in your catch position, you're pivoting from your shoulder, so your hands are sort of going up to place the blade, and you can do taps at the catch and tap like that. And then once they've mastered the isolation of that shoulder joint, just placing the blade and everything else is just staying in a nice strong catch position, then you do that, and then you place the blade and you take a little stroke. But you take a little stroke with your legs. So it's place, take a little stroke. So by little stroke, I mean probably like use a quarter of your leg drive, something like that. Keep your body in the same catch position, because you're really encouraging no lifting with the shoulders. And as soon as you move to that slightly more dynamic movement, you'll see they start lifting their shoulders, and that's when you stop them and say, you know, like you're lifting your shoulders, just try and keep your body in that strong catch position. And you can sort of go from there, and I think it's a really good way of breaking down the rowing stroke, especially that first part of the drive phase. And it's something that I don't think you could spend, if someone's getting it wrong, I don't think you could spend too much time on it technique-wise, because it really is just the absolute most important part of the drive phase, is that bit just after you place the blade, or placing the blade and getting that first half of the slide done properly in a way that isn't wasting energy, and you're connected and the blade's placed and you're drawing through flat, all of that sort of thing. I don't think you could spend too much time around that area of the stroke.
Absolutely. And a good place to practice it as well, particularly for people that have got a severe shoulder lift issue, is to do it on an ergo. Probably a fixed ergo is the easiest way to start. And if you've got an ergo coach on your ergo, a piece of equipment that shows you where your hands should be in relation to the drive phase at the catch, then use that. But quite simply done, if you have, I'd suggest start off without a handle on the ergo. So get them to sit on the ergo with their body in the catch position, come into the catch, lift their hands, which I know is not normal on an ergo, but we're imitating a boat here, lift their hands and then just push straight back. And then after they've got that under control and got the posture right, then and only then give them the handle. And I'd probably give them the handle and make the drag as low as you can get it, maybe even a piece of paper over the fan on the ergo to make it really clear that there's no load involved here. It's all about keeping their body in the right position. So I'd suggest, in getting rid of shoulder lift, I'd start on an ergo without a handle, just so they get that movement correct. And then, as Lachlan says, when they get into the boat, just do the first quarter slide or thereabouts, just to practice that. Put the blade in with the forearms, so put the blade in with the arms, and then just push a little bit to pick up the load, and then go back and do it again and again. So that's quarter slide rowing, really, from the catch. And I find that that's a really good way to drum the message home. The other thing to do is I'd suggest video the athletes, and so they'll be able to see then the shoulder lift, because I've had some athletes in the past where they couldn't feel that they were shoulder lifting, but when you show them a piece of video of it, then it's really clear that they're shoulder lifting. So there's a few things you can do. You would have done a fair bit of legs only rowing, I imagine, in an eight, Lachlan, over the years.
Yeah, I was just about to say, for people who want to add something to their warm-up, a good section of legs-only rowing or alternating legs-only for 10 strokes and then normal rowing for 10 strokes, something like that, works really well in crew boats. And especially in an eight, you can really demonstrate to the crew how much power they get from their leg drive without their body and their arms. You can rate quite highly, like get a really high rating and a really fast boat speed just with your legs if you're doing it properly. And for the coach, it'll become very easy to compare your rowers and see who's lifting at the catch and who isn't, and really focus your efforts on getting them all together like that. But it's a really good exercise for a few reasons, doing legs only. But for shoulder lift, it's great. For power application, it's great. For trying to isolate the catch placement and the leg drive, building that speed, it's really good too. So yeah, I think, and it feels really good. The athletes all love it. It's a really good feeling when you get it right. The legs only rowing, especially in bigger boats like quads and eights. It's quite a good feeling.
Also, when you're doing that sort of a drill, and indeed normal rowing as well, is that if you can encourage the athletes to really turn their core on really tight as they come into the catch, because if they're focusing on having their core really tight, then and the purpose of having a tight core, of course, is so that you don't shoot the slide, and so that you don't also lift with your shoulders. Because if your core's on really solidly, then it's easier for you to resist the urge to shoulder lift, because you're holding yourself consciously in that catch position and then just push. And so it's that concept again, legs only, but if you've got the core turned on really hard, then you'll find it's easier to avoid the shoulder lift as well. And core is such a critical thing, and a lot of young athletes in particular don't have very strong cores. And so I'd suggest work on the core strength of the athletes to make sure that they've got the optimal core so they're able to execute the catch well. But core strength is something that every rower wants to work on all the time, really, don't they, Lachlan?
Yeah, you definitely need a strong core, and it doesn't have to be, you can do a whole heap of sit-ups or like a plank or this or that. It has to be, I have to be able to hold my body in a strong position when I'm applying the power maximally with my legs. That's the sort of functional strong core that you're looking for when you're rowing. And when you're teaching people who are used to shoulder lifting, so people who shoulder lift in the boat, say other people in the boat aren't lifting with their shoulders, and the people that are shoulder lifting are missing that portion of the catch and are missing that initial leg drive, they're going to say when you get them to not lift their shoulders that it's a lot heavier, that the boat feels heavy. And that's because when they're lifting their shoulders, they're doing a lot less work than the people who are rowing without lifting their shoulders and who are doing it applying the power more sequentially. So if you're somebody who lifts with the shoulders and then you modify your technique so you're not lifting with the shoulders and you're worried it feels really heavy, that's because you're probably just getting connected with the water for the first time. You're not getting easy strokes, and easy strokes meaning strokes that aren't applying the power and driving the boat as much as they should be. So you'll notice that your crewmates will feel like the boat is lighter because you're contributing more, but you'll feel like it's much heavier, and you'll wonder, you know, what you're doing wrong and things like that. But you're just getting connected, and for some athletes that's a hard pill to swallow, but you have to teach them that you need to get connected with the water in order to contribute to boat speed.
Yeah, definitely. And if you do have yourself or athletes that you're coaching where it is really seriously heavy and it is perhaps not the best thing for the athletes to have it too heavy, so feel free when you're educating people on not lifting with the catch is to lighten it off a little bit. And so a couple of easy ways to lighten the load: can have a shorter oar, and that's fine, a bit more inboard, that works as well. The simplest way may well be to move their feet towards the bow a little bit and reduce the catch angle, so we get less gearing at the catch, just to make it a little bit easier. Also, something to be mindful of is on this core issue, particularly with younger athletes, if they've got a possibility of a sore back, then I'd suggest make it lighter. And so if they're going from missing the catch because they're lifting with the shoulders and rowing the oar in, and then they get that right and it feels heavy, and then if they complain about their back's a bit sore, then I'd lighten them off, move a bit towards the bow, make the oar a bit shorter, a bit more inboard, and also teach them to not be too aggressive with that first part of the drive phase whilst they get used to the technique, because an athlete with a not very strong core or a weak core, you may find that you've got a potential for injury when they start to row properly. So just be mindful of that. And if they're getting a sore back because they haven't got a strong enough core at the catch, then the answer is get the core stronger and make the load a little bit lighter whilst they get themselves up to speed on the strength side. So just be mindful that, because gearing is one of those things that's probably not that well understood, we find. And so it makes it easy to put the catch in. This is what you found, isn't it, Lachlan? It's easy to get the catch in if you have a heavily geared oar and your feet towards the stern. But if you're trying to put a lot of power on early, then that makes it more difficult as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can put the power on early, but it will cost you a lot of energy. If you have a good connection at the catch, you really have to start to learn how you apply the power with your legs. So, for example, if I'm in a single and I get really well connected at the catch, really well connected, I can't just then, I can put as much power through my legs as I want, but if I put a lot of power through my legs and my body, more so than the speed of the boat running through the water by a lot, that's going to fatigue my muscles really quickly. It's kind of like, pushing a car. Like when you're pushing a car, you sort of have to ease into it and, build the power up. And then once you get it going, you can't just, put all your effort in for 100% effort for 2 seconds and expect the car to move very far. You need to sort of match what you need to do to get it up and running. And it's the same when you place a blade in the water. That's why we sometimes talk about accelerating from 30% through to 100% at the finish, effort when you place the blade. It's just because if you were to put 100%, literally 100% of effort in at the catch, it would be almost like pushing a car. It's just so heavy that you can't really be effective. Your muscles can't move that much water and create that much power to maintain over a race. You have to ease into it and place the blade and accelerate through to the finish. And that's why you can't just place a blade and just, accelerate instantly to 100%. I mean, yeah, in bigger boats, you might have to do that just to contribute to boat speed. But in smaller boats that move slower, that have less horsepower in the boat, you need to be a bit more, you need to think about how you apply the power a bit more. And if you're someone who's gone from missing the catch to getting the catch, you're going to have to recalibrate how much power you put through your legs and through your body so you can get to the end of the race maintaining good technique without blowing up.
Yeah, and on the same vein too, if you've only got a certain amount of energy to use, and when you get the catch right, then it shouldn't feel as hard as before. So if for example someone's lifting heavily with their shoulders, then the catch will feel quite heavy there. Now, a heavy catch is fine so long as the blade's in the water, but it doesn't mean, as Lachlan says, you've got to push as hard as you can right from the beginning, because you'll wear yourself out and you'll probably check the boat a little bit as well. So having a catch that feels a little bit less powerful is actually not a bad thing for a shoulder lifter. And so you may find with many shoulder lifting athletes is that when they get this right, it'll feel like your catch is heavier, but if they don't push too hard, then it won't feel as powerful, but they're saving the acceleration to later in the stroke, as Lachlan says, 30 to 100% or even less than 30 at the catch. Then you'll find that you get a much faster boat out of that, because you're getting your legs on first and then your body comes on and pushes hard against the legs in the back part of the stroke, enhancing boat speed quite a lot.
Yeah, and by that same token, if you're lifting with your shoulders and aren't placing the blade properly at the catch, so say you get on with the drive really quickly, but your blade isn't fully buried before you do that, you're still applying power, but you're applying power to the foot stretcher and not to the handle. So if you're applying power to the foot stretcher, it's pushing the boat backwards, essentially slowing the boat down a lot. You need to have that blade placed before you apply any power. And when you're lifting with your shoulders and opening up before the blade's in the water, all that power is going through the foot stretcher and slowing the boat down.
Yeah, no doubt. And so deep, well-connected blades, critical. And you'll find that with in pretty much any boat, the handle height when the blade's fully buried is quite high in relation to the boat. And the better athletes that have got a good, deep, well-connected catch, their forearms are almost parallel with the gunwale of the boat when the blade's in the water, and that's before they really apply a lot of power. And so I'd suggest with your athletes and with yourself, just put the blade in the water when you're stationary and just have a look at it and make sure it's well under the water, and then make a mental note of where your hand is in relation to the distance from above the gunwale. And then every time you put the blade in the water, try and put your hand to that same point before you push. I think you'll find that almost every athlete's going to look at it and say, wow, I didn't realise I had to put the blade that deep. And it's an important skill to get organised to put the blade in that deep without using your shoulders to do it. And so I'd get them to practice that when they're stationary so they really understand it. But blade depth, something that I think's often we find athletes are tending to move the water by having the blade not so deep in the water rather than moving the boat. A real issue for boat speed.
Yeah, so if you're looking from above with a really good, well-connected catch, so someone who's rowing with a really well-connected catch, placing the blade before they're pushing with their legs and opening with their shoulders, you'll see that it almost looks like they're putting their blade in behind a post. Like a lot of people have heard this, like think about placing your blade behind a pylon or a post and driving the boat past that point. And that's actually very similar to what really happens. I mean, you're not really pulling them. If you get well connected, you're not really moving that blade through the water at all. If you look from above, it really does look like you're placing the blade in one point of the water and it stays there it doesn't really move through the water at all. So a well-connected catch will do that. And so it's not too far to say it is like placing your blade, a well-connected catch is like placing your blade behind a pole in the water and locking onto it and driving the boat past it. It really is just like that.
Yeah. And the more the athletes can understand why they're doing this, the better. So make sure they're well educated as to the reasoning for this, and you'll find they get much better acceptance. But certainly from my perspective, particularly with junior athletes and club and school system, if they're lifting with the shoulders, and you'll find that in my experience, the majority of athletes are lifting with their shoulders, and then if you can get them out of that habit early on, you'll find you'll get much faster boats pretty much immediately. So I think lifting with the shoulders is one of those perennial issues that seems to be very common in the club and school system, and the more you can do to stop that, the faster your boats are going to be.
Yeah, it's much more efficient, and yeah, it really is much more enjoyable to rowing in a crew that is doing it right than, you know, half the people lifting with the shoulders, missing the catch and hoping the rest of the crew can do enough to drive the boat to a good boat speed. So if you found this podcast useful, we've got a heap of more information on our website, decentrowing.com. We've got a free rowing course there and stretching guide that you can download for free. You just have to, or stream for free, should I say. You just have to enter your email. We also have a 12-week rowing program that you can download and change. And the program comes in, you know, basic form, so beginner, intermediate, advanced, and elite, and you can just go in there and it's a spreadsheet and change bits and pieces to suit your rowing if you're interested. So until next time, happy rowing.